I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. The Pennsylvania primary is next Tuesday, and while the fight to be the GOP presidential nominee has gotten most of the attention, there are still important and interesting races that voters should know about. There are five Republicans vying to be the candidate to take on incumbent U.S. Senator Democrat Bob Casey in the fall. Interestingly, two of them used to be Democrats. The contest to be the Democratic nominee for Attorney General has turned out to be a tough fight between former ADA for Lackawanna County Kathleen Kane and former Congressman Patrick Murphy. Their endorsements are noteworthy, pitting Bill Clinton against the AFL-CIO. Well, we're going to talk about the race for the White House, these statewide races, and what voters care about across the state of Pennsylvania. And we begin our conversation with John Guerrero. He's a political reporter for the Erie Times News and GoErie.com, also co-author of GoErie.com's Campaign 12 blog. And John Guerrero, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Well, thanks for having me, Marty.
What do voters care about in your neck of the woods?
Well, I think they did care about the presidential race until about a week ago when Rick Santorum bowed out. Seems like the lack of interest, since he decided not to enter, decided not to stay in the race. I think if Santorum had stayed in, I think we would have seen a lot of visits from the presidential candidates, but looks like it'll be a quiet primary for us.
Does that tell us that there were a lot of Santorum supporters in the Erie area?
There were. I would say more Santorum, and probably split evenly between Santorum and Romney.
And what has been are people scratching their heads about Santorum dropping out, or do people seem to understand that he kind of looked at the lay of the land and saw that he was going to have trouble winning the state of Pennsylvania?
I think they realized, it was inevitable that he was going to have to get out. And I think he saw the poll numbers not going in his favor, and he just decided it was time.
So what do folks feel about Mitt Romney, or is it just too quiet to tell?
It's kind of quiet. I think it's going to really pick up, for the general election. But right now it's quiet without a real race out there.
And is there, do Gingrich and Paul, do they even register out in the Erie area?
There is not Gingrich, but Paul's, there's a base of Paul supporters, probably about 130 to 200, that are real strong and active, but whether that translates into votes, I don't know.
A kind of libertarian streak?
Right.
An interest in that part of the Republican Party?
Right, and that group has been very active. Probably the most visible of all the presidential supporters on the Republican side.
Are we talking about a conservative part of Pennsylvania, a very conservative part of Pennsylvania, a mix of ideologies and politics?
Well, the city of Erie is heavily Democratic, about 3-1 voter registration. You get out into the county, it gets more Republican. But it's about 90,000 Democrats to, say, about 50,000 Republicans in the county.
And I asked you this in the beginning, but I am curious about what not just voters but residents care about in this part of Pennsylvania.
Well, obviously jobs.
Jobs.
That's the biggest issue. Erie, like most communities in Pennsylvania, has been hard hit by the recession. We've seen a little bit of a rebound, though, lately. Our biggest employer, General Electric, GE Transportation, has been hiring people back and hiring more people, which is a good sign.
We also know that Pennsylvania has a high number of older Americans, senior citizens, as they're called. Is that also true for your part of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, we have a fairly high number of senior citizens in Erie County, but we do have several colleges in the area, in Edinburgh, right. Gannon, Mercier, Penn State, Barron, Allegheny, down in Meadville. So a lot of young people that will be voting this year.
And how about health care? The reason I asked that, I was curious about how the issue of health care plays out up there.
Well, it's health care, probably our former Congresswoman, Kathy Dahlkemper, mm-hmm. her vote on health care a couple years ago probably doomed her reelection. It's probably one of the factors that led to her losing to Mike Kelly, our current congressman.
Are there some other interesting local races that we should know about?
Yeah, there's Well, we've got in the 49th district, which is most of Erie County, there's a state Senate race that's drawn a lot of interest. And that is on the Democratic side, where there's four candidates running. Mm. And the Republican side, there's one candidate. So whoever wins out of the Democratic side will take on Janet Anderson. She used to work for the current Senator, Jane Earle, who is no longer, well, she's not running for re-election. She's been in office for four terms. So there's four Democrats that are vying to be the nominee next Tuesday. And they're Terry Scatella. He's a Mill Creek School Board member. John Harkins, he's an Erie School Board member. Brian Pitzer, he's the former Director of Public Relations at Edinburgh University. And Sean Wiley, he's a former Director of Administration for Erie County Government.
And are there differences between, dramatic differences between these candidates?
I wouldn't say dramatic differences. It's just, it's like John Harkins has been on the school board for over 30 years, so
He has some name recognition.
Yeah, people in the city of Erie, if they come out to vote, there's a good chance they'll see the name Harkins and say, okay, I'm going to vote for him. Sean Wiley seems to be getting a lot of backing from Democrats here. I see a lot of Brian. I was just in Edinburgh yesterday. I saw a lot of Brian Pitzer signs down there. Terry Scatella is popular on the school board. So just, I guess it's a matter of which candidate can get their people out to vote. And it's probably going to be a fairly low turnout next Tuesday.
John, let me ask you a little bit about the GOP primary for the U.S. Senate. And there are actually five, talking about, you know, numbers of candidates vying for various positions. Has that registered in the Erie area?
It has a little bit. The candidates have been in Erie, other than Dave Christian. He seems to be running a low-profile race, but at least in our parts anyway.
Yeah, and he's a Bucks County candidate, Bucks County-based.
But the other four have all been here. I've interviewed them at the paper. They've come in for individual interviews. They appeared at a forum that the Manufacturers Association in Erie held about 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a low-key forum after some of the fireworks that have occurred in that race. But, you know, with two of the candidates being former Democrats and that being made an issue. There were no fireworks during that debate, but they were here. They made they had a presence in Erie, so that maybe that's registering a little bit in the minds of voters.
Seems like they're pretty. Each one of them is pretty conservative. Yes.
Of those
five,
yeah. But that they're saying, you know, Welsh, for instance, voted for Barack Obama 4 years ago, and he was a former Democrat. Smith was a former Democrat, so they're both of those candidates putting that out there.
And how does the president playing out in the Erie area?
The Obama campaign opened the headquarters here in January, so they've had a pretty good presence since January, and they've had a lot of grassroots efforts, get out the vote, getting volunteers to help out with the campaign, gearing up for the fall. So, and they're right in the middle of downtown area. They're, you know, storefront, right in the center of town. Mm-hmm. So the presence, they have a good presence in Erie, and they're gearing up, of course, for what it looks like a Romney
challenge.
Obama campaign.
Yes, indeed. And as you said, Erie is a Democratic town.
Yeah, he's going to win the city of Erie, meaning the president. He'll probably win Erie County. When you get out into northwestern Pennsylvania, probably be more Romney territory when you get out into the Meadvilles and more of the rural areas.
I'm curious about the support for Bob Casey Jr., the Democrat who is the current incumbent U.S. Senator. How do folks in Erie think about him?
I think he comes across favorably. You know, son of a former governor. He won Erie last time he ran. So I think he's. I mean, it's hard to judge when you're not talking to everybody. But
right. But I'm thinking about that Casey name.
Oh, the name. Yeah, it's gold.
as gold.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, he's going up against Vodvarka, Joseph Vodvarka, who obviously doesn't have a chance. But that'll be, obviously, a Casey win next Tuesday.
There's another statewide race for attorney general and actually two Democrats that are sort of pitted against each other, Kathleen Kane and Patrick Murphy. Again, you know, I want to know if that race is registering at all in your neck of the woods.
It is on TV. We're seeing a lot of ads, Kathleen Kane especially, a lot of TV advertising, and with the Clinton endorsement, that's been remains to be seen how big that'll play out. But going back to Kathy Dahlkemper's race couple of years ago, Clinton came up here to endorse her and held a big rally, and in the end that didn't help her, but I don't think anything was going to help her. In 2010, that was the Republicans' turn.
Right, and so interesting endorsements, AFL-CIO for Murphy and Clinton for Kane.
Right.
I'm curious about a story I think that you wrote about whether the Tea Party would be allowed to join the 4th of July parade. I realize we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves here, but I made note of that. I'm just curious, what is that all about?
Well, the committee heading that parade, they have a rule that no political parties are allowed in parades, and they don't want candidates either running and walking in those parades. Could be an elected office holder, but not one running for an office. They just wanted to kind of keep politics out of it. As the parade committee told me, it's boring for kids to watch, you know, politicians and political parties in a parade. So, more further inspection, you know, there's some debate of whether the Tea Party is actually a political party or not, and so he's reconsidering, the committee, I should say, is reconsidering whether to allow the Tea Party in the parade. So we'll see how that shakes out.
We're almost out of time here. What about the new voter ID law? Has there been reaction in Erie area to that law?
Well, yeah, predictably, Democrats are opposed to it. They're fearful that the base, some of the other faithful supporters won't come out, those that don't have the photo ID. Particularly elderly, people who haven't driven for years, some of the poor folks. And there's a big effort by the Obama people to get those people photo IDs right now for the fall, because obviously for the spring they're going to check the ID. They're going to ask you for your photo ID, but if you don't have it, you're still going to be able to vote. Going to take full force in November.
In the fall. Well, John Guerrero, thanks for getting us started today on Radio Times.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Political reporter for the Erie Times News and the first of three guests in this hour of Radio Times as we take the political temperature of Pennsylvania. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Japan-America Society of Greater Philadelphia supports WHYY and announces Dine Out Japan, now through Thursday, April 19th. As part of Philadelphia's Subaru Cherry Blossom Festival, participating restaurants are featuring menus with spring-worthy examples of Japanese cuisine, from sushi to tempura, soba to yakitori, and contemporary takes on classic Japanese flavors. For participating restaurants and more details, SubaruCherryBlossom.org.
WHYY-FM. You listen, you enjoy, and you know you're going to make a donation. So why not just do it now? And if you do, you can enjoy YStream, our regular WHYY-FM programming delivered online without membership breaks. Sign up for YStream by April 22nd. For more information and to make your donation now, visit whyy.org/YStream.
Abington Memorial Hospital supports WHYY and offers treatment for prostate cancer using the Calypso system. Miniature beacon transponders no larger than a grain of rice are implanted in the prostate, providing precise information on its location during radiation treatment. This procedure uses GPS technology for the body. Because radiation is delivered with accuracy, surrounding healthy tissue can be spared. 215-481-MALE to learn more. That's 215-481-MALE.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscowane. With just a week left before Pennsylvania voters get to choose candidates in the Republican and Democratic primary elections, we're taking stock of how a few select campaigns are playing out in other parts of the Commonwealth. And joining us now is Boris Krawchenyuk, and he is politics reporter for the Times Tribune of Scranton and Wilkes-Barre, writes the Random Notes column under the pseudonym Roderick Random. And Boris, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Boris, I do want to begin with the Democratic race for Attorney General, because Kathleen Kane has roots in your neck of the woods. Tell us about who is she.
She is a former Lackawanna County Assistant District Attorney, spent about 11 years in the District Attorney's Office, notably prosecuting child abuse cases, and she's married to a family of wealthy trucking and warehouse family, and they have contributed heavily to her campaign, and she is trying to become not only the first Democratic Attorney General, but the first female Attorney General. And she's up against someone from your neck of the woods, Pat
Indeed.
Murphy, of course.
Indeed. And how heavily have they invested in her campaign?
Well, as of the end of the year, I haven't looked at the latest campaign finance report, but it was $2 million. And that was basically 80% of all the 80 or 90% of all the money that she had raised. I imagine there's going to be more, just because Philadelphia media market is so expensive. And you're going to need to, spend $1 million a week or so, $500,000 to $1 million down there to advertise on TV to be successful, because that's where all the Democratic voters are.
Well, and interestingly, there have been a battle of endorsements. Bill Clinton supporting Kane, David Axelrod, the FFL-CIO, supporting Murphy. What does that tell us about, Democratic operatives?
Democratic operatives. What do you mean?
Well, I'm thinking. I mean, you don't get you barely get a bigger endorsement than Bill Clinton. Maybe David Axelrod is a stand-in for Barack Obama, but it just seems like an interesting standoff between these various endorsers.
Well, I don't think anybody would argue that David Axelrod can attract voters, but definitely can argue that Bill Clinton will, and she earned that endorsement by backing Hillary in 2008 against Obama. She worked real hard for Hillary in the Northeast, and I think that's what that's about. That was really the president rewarding her for the hard work he did for his wife.
And Murphy supported Obama early on, and
right.
And he also helped to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which was a bill signed by then-President Bill Clinton.
That's right. Yeah, I don't think that had anything to do with Clinton endorsing Kathleen Kane, but imagine the difference between who they backed her president did.
Do you think union issues are going to be part of, we've only got a week to go, but are part of this particular campaign?
Yeah. Murphy's got all the unions, most of the union support, and he's made a case against Kane that she's not a union supporter because her family's trucking and warehousing businesses. Its officials have shown some anti-union tendencies. The big advantage that Murphy gains there is getting out the vote on Election Day.
And she seems like she has contradicted herself on this union issue. Can you delve into that a bit, Boris?
Well, she makes the argument that she's her own woman, and that the family trucking business people say is not what she believes. She's taking money from the family, and that helps fuel the argument against her. But at the same time, they're family members. You kind of would expect that they would contribute to to her campaign.
Interestingly, she did get endorsed by the Philadelphia Inquirer down here in the Philadelphia area. Has she gotten endorsements from other newspapers?
I should know this, and I don't.
How about in your area?
I don't know. I'm not sure if we've endorsed in that race yet.
Right. But is there a lot of interest in this attorney general race?
No.
No.
And part of the problem is that that it's a race that's kind of more interesting in the fall, if at all. It generally falls in presidential election years, and it always gets overshadowed. Not generally, but it always falls in presidential election years, and it always gets overshadowed by the presidential race. So if you looked at the early polling numbers, I don't imagine they're much changed. I know that Terry Madonna, the noted post pollster from Franklin and Marshall, would not poll in this race because there's just nobody knows who the candidates are. That's part of the problem.
Well, I guess we're trying to drum up interest in this particular race.
Yeah.
And in other races across the state of Pennsylvania. Let me just quickly reintroduce you, and that's Boris Krauchenyuk. He's a politics reporter for the Times Tribune of Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. He writes their Random Notes column under this interesting pseudonym of Roderick Random, and the second of three guests in this hour of Radio Times, as we do talk about some of these statewide races and some local races across the state of Pennsylvania. Next Tuesday is primary day, and yes, we are trying to drum up interest, and we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-WHYY. Boris, do you think the fact that Rick Santorum withdrew, or there's a certain didn't exactly drop out, they always have this language about suspending their campaign so they can continue to raise money and keep their, I guess, their organization intact, but the fact that he withdrew, did that take some of the stuffing out of this primary race next week?
Took all of it. You know, there's some local races that are interesting in some places. We have a congressional race here that's a Democratic congressional race that's interesting. But that was the marquee race, and that was the one that was going to mean a lot of visits from people. Once he quit, that kind of took the fun out of it for politics reporters anyway.
Well, I was going to say, I hear a knowing laugh coming from you. But
yeah.
Is there any way to know how his candidacy would have played out in the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area?
He was always popular here. He did very well in the Northeast and was quite disappointed that in 2004 that they couldn't that they didn't do better in the North, or 2006, that they didn't do better in the Northeast. He thought that the places like the Northeast would help George Bush win in 2004, and of course George Bush narrowly lost Pennsylvania in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Although he did pretty well in the 15 to 18 counties in the Northeast. So Santorum was well liked here generally, and did well here in election.
Is there any way to gauge people's interest or support for Mitt Romney?
The Northeast kind of gets lumped as one area, but it's really two areas. The two largest counties, Luzerne and Lackawanna, are heavily Democratic, and then the ring counties are all Republican, kind of like Philadelphia. Most of the voters are in the Luzerne and Lackawanna. Luzerne tends to vote more Republican, and so they're probably more receptive to Romney than Lackawanna. Lackawanna is a very stalwart Democratic territory. It's also, in this case, the boyhood home of the Vice President Joe Biden. So breaking through here is very difficult. But he should do okay in the Republican counties. The big thing for him will be how much enthusiasm there is for a Romney candidacy. The conservative movement was clearly for someone else, and they took turns deciding who that would be, and he has got to consolidate that, in terms of, in terms of an anti-Obama vote, basically making the argument that you really want another 4 years of Barack Obama.
Well, as you said, Joe Biden often reminds us that he has roots in Scranton. Does that play well in Scranton and the surrounding area?
It played well in Lackawanna County. In the last election, only Philadelphia had a higher percentage for Obama than Lackawanna County. Lackawanna County voted, 63% for Obama-Biden, and that made a big difference here. It was a lot closer in Luzerne County, which has always tended to be a little bit more Republican, although the Democratic majority there is about 3-2. And then in the ring counties, it's all it's Republican territory.
One thing I was reading, and it might have been something that you wrote, Boris, which is that assuming it's Mitt Romney, but Republicans can win the White House without Pennsylvania, but Democrats can't win the White House without Pennsylvania. Is that
right? The last Democrat to win the White House without Pennsylvania was Harry Truman in 1948. And that's back then the state was still more Republican than it was Democratic. I think that had a lot to do with it. In fact, for most of the century before that, the state was tilted Republican.
What are the issues, when you look at, as you said, we shouldn't lump it all in together, but nonetheless, you're in this northeast part of Pennsylvania. If you look at Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, that part of Pennsylvania, what are the issues that either, if voters, residents, what do they care about? What are they interested
in? Well, jobs is the top issue. I mean, the unemployment rate here is the highest in the metro area, is the highest in the state and has been for almost two straight years. I think it's like 22 months now. So, you know, jobs is going to be the argument here, as it probably will be everywhere. But, you know, here is a place where, you know, Obama has to consolidate the success that he had last time somehow in light of a bad economy.
What is the unemployment rate up there?
I believe it was 8.9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the states is 7.6 in the last comparable month, I think February. And so it has been the highest. And the difference is that in the old days, we diversified our economy, we used to have double-digit unemployment long after the rest of the nation didn't. But we're still lagging. So we're doing better in that sense, but we're still lagging in the other overall.
And is that the drip of unemployment, or are have certain factories or businesses or industries left the region?
Well, I mean, there's still a bit of a manufacturing base here, it's still more education, educational institutions. There's like 13 colleges in the region. It's healthcare, lots of hospitals. Mm-hmm. Those are the chief employers, and kind of the things that, and there's a new medical school. There's the kind of things that people are pinning the region's hopes on for the future.
And what about fracking Marcellus Shale?
It's mostly in the rural counties, the ring counties, the Republican counties, and it's fairly popular there because it produces jobs and creates, you know, wealth for people. There is a smaller but vocal contingent that attacks is critical all the time of the industry, and there's a kind of a war going on between the two ideologies right now as to how that should go. There's the side that wants more regulation, there's the side that wants less.
You mentioned an interesting local race. I'm assuming you're talking about the Stilt v. Vinsco?
The Holden Cartwright seat.
Okay, let's do that one. Holden
Cartwright.
Yeah, that's
Tim Holden, the longtime incumbent congressman from the 17th district who survived in a conservative Democrat who has survived in a Republican district for 20 years. And now the district is a little more Democratic than it is Republican, and for the first time he's running in a Democratic district and finding himself challenged by a Democrat who runs to the left of him. So it's providing for some interesting entertainment in TV commercials anyway.
And the 11th district, is that also a race worth watching?
That is the incumbent Lou Barletta, the Republican who won the seat 2 years ago against either Bill Vinsco, a Wilkes-Barre attorney who lives just outside the district. You don't have to live in the district to run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The redistricting took him out of the 11th. And Gene Stilp, the Harrisburg activist and consultant, who we see carrying an inflatable pig all over the state all the time.
I know. I was very interested to read that. So he's at least trying to enter politics.
Yeah, he's run before. He's unsuccessfully. He came close to winning a House seat a couple of years ago, but he has not broken through yet.
And is redistricting changing politics up there?
Redistricting did change politics. Yeah. The 17th, which is the Holden District, now includes Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, the two largest cities up here, and that has never happened before. They've always been in either the 10th or 11th or 12th, depending on the decade.
And how about Bob Casey Jr., who's, of course, the incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator, hometown boy?
Yeah, he never has any trouble up here. And you know, frankly, it's hard to see him having any trouble right now in the state. The Republicans are still fighting among themselves. They still lack the name ID. They are working on it, but they still lack the name ID. That race is going to be interesting to watch. If it doesn't, you know, tighten up by September, I think the Republicans will go elsewhere and spend their money on other states where they think they can win. He's really hard to beat. He just has tremendous amount of name ID, the ability to raise a lot of money, and it's just a very tough sledding for anybody who runs against him. the presumptive, I wouldn't say, well, that's the wrong word to use, but the guy who might come out of the Republican side, it's either Tom Smith, I think, or Steve Welch. I've always thought that the Welch-Casey matchup is a better matchup for Republicans because you have the contrast of youth and entrepreneurial spirit. Not that Casey's old, but he's older and represents a different era.
And Casey is maybe in the traditional sense a conservative Democrat.
Yeah, definitely. That's why he does well. That's, I mean, once you get east of the Susquehanna River, that's pretty conservative country. Not just, you know, that it's more Republican than Democratic, but even the Democrats mm-hmm. out there are fairly conservative. It's more a Midwestern. When you start heading toward the west coast of Pennsylvania, so to speak, those are Midwest. Those are more Midwest voters there.
And do you expect? I mean, I know primaries don't generate the same kind of interest as a general election, but do you imagine a low voter turnout?
I do, and that's a big problem for the people who aren't endorsed by parties. Because they need, you know, people to get their vote out, and that you're not going to have a big turnout on Tuesday. The Republicans especially will have a harder time because they have nothing in most places to drive the vote out. Their statewide seats are all uncontested. The presidential race is over. If they have local races, they're going to have to rely on their local candidates to drive the vote. I don't think turnout on Tuesday is going to be very good at all on either side.
And who is Roderick Random?
Roderick Random is I've got to make sure I get this right.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's he's a 19th century novelist which was enjoyed by the original publisher of the family. When the family bought, this is the Leinart family bought the paper in 1895, the publisher started the Roderick Random column and took that name from that novel, and it has run every Saturday since November 9th, 1895. So for a long time it was a pseudonym and written anonymously, and then about 5 or 6 years ago we adopted journalistic standards and started identifying who writes that. So mine's actually the first name to be on the column.
Well, Boris, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Boris Krochenyuk is political reporter for the Times Tribune of Scranton and Wilkes-Barre. He writes the Random Notes column under the pseudonym Roderick Random. The second of three guests in this hour of Radio Times as we take a tour across the state of Pennsylvania and take the temperature, so to speak, the political temperature of voters and residents across the state. Jim O'Toole waiting in the wings, politics editor for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Delaware Rep supports WHYY and presents Thornton Wilder's Pulitzer Prize-winning comedy, The Skin of Our Teeth, April 19th through May 5th. Called a marriage of Plato and Groucho Marx, the Antrobus family faces one disaster after another, from woolly mammoths to Atlantic City showgirls and end-of-the-world warfare, only to endure and thrive in this timeless tale of human inspiration and survival. For tickets, 302-831-2204 or rep.udel.edu.
We never really know the impact it has when we talk openly about something that's often seen as shameful. Maybe it creates a path for our own healing to begin. And maybe it lets others know they too can be heard and in turn supported. I'm Dan Gottlieb, and on the next Voices in the Family, our relationship with our minds and our bodies as we head towards self-acceptance. That's today at noon here on WHYY-FM.
Arcadia University supports WHYY and supports great teachers and education leaders. Arcadia is hosting a graduate open house on April 18th. Attendees can explore master's and doctorate degree options and talk about their goals one-on-one with specialists in graduate education. The Arcadia April 18th Graduate Open House. More details available online at arcadia.edu/grad open house.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. The Pennsylvania primary next Tuesday was supposed to be a showdown between Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney, but as we know, Santorum pulled out of the race. Looks like smooth sailing for Romney to be the GOP candidate for the president. We're talking about this and other races across the state of Pennsylvania. And joining us now is Jim O'Toole, politics editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And Jim, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Marty, thanks for calling.
You're very welcome. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Jim, this feels almost like ancient history. It was only just last week. But what does Santorum's exit say about the state of Pennsylvania, do you think?
Well, I think it says more about his campaign insofar as it reflects on Pennsylvania relative to that. I think it would have been a crapshoot for Santorum as to whether he could win here despite his roots. His supporters, his advisors, point out that in 06, even though he had such a devastating loss to Casey, Republicans stayed with him, so that's to them an omen that he would have been able to retain his Republican support in the primary, but he would have faced an awful lot of money, so... I'm sure it was a difficult decision for him, but perhaps a prudent one.
But you think it was, and certainly Mitt Romney was ready with a barrage of negative ads from his campaign and also from his super PAC.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The number that was tossed around was $2.9 million. I don't know exactly how much would have been spent. I know that there's probably a lot of ad sales directors at local television stations and radio stations across the state who were profoundly depressed after that announcement came out.
Hoping for all that political money. What do you think the this is speculation, but what do you think the future for Rick Santorum will be? Any way to know?
Well, you can't know for sure. I think that looking to preserve that future was one of the factors in his decision. If he had lost his home state, that would have been a problem going forward. I think that if there is... no Republican incumbent in the White House in 2016, he'll be obviously one of the top two or three names mentioned, although that party has a pretty good bench going forward. He certainly wouldn't have a smooth path to the nomination, but he's definitely elevated himself in the national political scene. It's really a remarkable turnaround from where he was 6 years ago.
Mitt Romney is actually in Philadelphia. He's giving a talk at the for the Tri-State Tax Day Tea Summit. It's going to be at the or is at the Franklin Institute tonight. Jim, can you gauge the interest in Mitt Romney without all those challengers besides Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich?
Well, I think that particularly with an audience like that, there's some interest. Republican conservatives, as you know, Marty, have had various degrees of concern about the Romney candidacy, but I think that the Tea Party crowd, as opposed to the more social conservatives, are more comfortable with him. From the day he announced this time around, his speech was filled with the kind of small government constitutional rhetoric that has been the mainstay of the Tea Party crowd. I think he would have had a more difficult time, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the fall. He would have had a more difficult time in the primary in the center of the state and in more rural areas.
So you're telling us that there really is an interesting, I guess there are several splits within the Republican Party, one between Tea Party and the more social conservative parts of the or members of the GOP?
Sure, yeah. And that was one of the fissures that the Santorum campaign was able to exploit. In any state where the percentage of white evangelical Christians was above 50% of the Republican electorate, in I think all but a couple, he won when the proportions were reversed. Romney tended to win. So there were reservations about him, about Romney. Part of that was positive about Santorum because of Santorum's long identification with pro-life causes, so on and so forth. Part of it is concern with Romney over changes in his record over time, and in part with some people over the fact that he's a Mormon.
Oh, interesting. You think that'll be an issue in Pennsylvania, his religion?
With some people, and I think it'll be a tacit issue. It'll be one that, you know, the Democrats aren't going to be putting any money behind ads emphasizing it, but it's one that his campaign has long been aware of through both their runs for the presidency.
And how's the president faring in Pennsylvania?
Well, his numbers have picked up here a little bit, but his approval rating has been a problem, but he does better against Republican candidates than his approval rating might suggest. I think that Pennsylvania will definitely be in play in this election, maybe to a slightly less extent than, say, Ohio or Florida, but it's definitely going to be one of the real battlegrounds once again.
Do you see the governor, who tends to be a rather private person, certainly compared to his predecessor, do you see Tom Corbett getting involved in this presidential race?
Well, I think you will. I mean, I think that it's always a home court advantage to have the governor be a member of your party. I think a more interesting kind of proxy test for Tom Corbett is in the primary in this Republican Senate race. He ruffled some feathers by so strongly backing Steve Welch and engineering Mr. Welch's endorsement in the Republican State Committee, despite some concerns by more conservative Republicans over his recent Democratic past, so on and so forth. So we'll see what kind of clout the governor's office has to a certain extent in that race.
And I should just say that there are five Republicans running in the primary: David Christian, former state representative Sam Rohrer, lawyer Mark Scaringi, a retired coal businessman Tom Smith, and Steve Welch, an entrepreneur. They've had a number of forums, some back and forth. Anything that divide or congeal these group of candidates?
Well, I think Sam Rohrer, who has less money than either Welch or Smith, is hoping that his identification with the Tea Party is going to allow him to sneak in there. And in a low turnout election, which is something we all expect, that's not an unreasonable hope. But it seems that the two self-funders in the race, Smith and Welch, are moving ahead in and it seems... My guess is that the race will be between those two.
And they used to be...
Smith has the a slight geographic advantage in that he's from western Pennsylvania, and the rest of them, one way or another, are from the center of the east.
And it's an advantage to be from the west?
Well, it's an advantage to be the only candidate
the
from
only
the west. Everyone else is from the east.
And two of those candidates used to be Democrats.
Right, Smith and Welch, but they also have... the advantage of being able to write the big checks, so that helps them with that problematic record.
Looking at some of these candidate debates, issues about taxes, guns, abortion, immigration, the Penn State scandal, government, is that what these forums tended to be about?
Well, I think that in the Senate race, as in the presidential race, the biggest theme is who's going to be the best one to defeat the Democrat. You saw that in the Republican presidential race, who can best beat Barack Obama. And the biggest central theme for the Republican race is who can take down Bob Casey, who can be instrumental in taking that seat back.
And
it's not so much ideological as tactical, I think.
To take down Bob, let me just quickly reintroduce you. Jim O'Toole, the third of three guests in this hour of Radio Times. He's politics editor of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and we've been looking at the Pittsburgh part of Pennsylvania, the northeast and northwest part of the state, getting a sense about how folks in the Commonwealth are looking at some interesting local races and statewide races. And we're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. That's 1-888-477-W. HYY. Interested in, if you are interested in these races and what's happening in Pennsylvania, and if you have picked a candidate or not, again, give us a call, 1-888-477-9499. Jim, I was asking our other guests about how Bob Casey, you know, playing in their neck of the woods, of course, a very well-known Pennsylvania name, Bob Casey. Do you see him as vulnerable at all?
I don't at this point. I think that the economy would have to, I mean, outside events would have to work to make him vulnerable. The economy would have to get worse, or he would have to say or do something disqualifying, something, you know, that we, none of us anticipate at this point. I don't think that this is a race that so far is on the radar screen of the national political committees, which is a fundraising challenge for whoever the Republican nominee is.
He did support the Blunt Amendment. It didn't pass, but it the Blunt Amendment would have allowed employers to decide about contraceptive care for their employees based on religious or moral objections. Do you think that might hurt him among Democrats, more liberal-leaning Democrats?
Well, yes, but, I mean, they're not going to like it, but where do they go? They're not going to vote for the Republican, and I think that the presidential race is going to drive turnout, so I think while they're in the booth, they're going to vote for Casey.
And what about independent or swing voters in Pennsylvania? We know that a lot of, not just in Pennsylvania, but in other states, diehard Republicans and Democrats are getting frustrated with their particular parties. Are we seeing this in Pennsylvania, too?
Yeah, I think that you can see it in the approval ratings for Congress, which is at an all-time low. I think incumbents in general are having a tough time, but the Pennsylvania ballot this time around certainly speaking to the primary, doesn't offer a clear a vehicle for that protest. The congressional race that Boris was speaking about in the earlier segment maybe gives voters there a chance to vote against a longtime incumbent. There are a couple of congressional primaries here where in one of which incumbency is an issue, and the other it isn't. There's a race between two Republicans in a suburban Pittsburgh district between Tim Murphy, the incumbent, and Evan Feinberg, who is a Tea Party-supported kind of throw-the-bums-out candidate. He got a lot of support early on from a prominent anti-incumbent PAC and from the Club for Growth. It's not clear, though, that his candidacy has really taken off to be a mortal threat to Congressman Murphy, who represents, this is Tim Murphy, not the Attorney General candidate, who represents the 18th District. And there's another good congressional race out here between two Democratic incumbents, which is the result of Pennsylvania losing a seat in Congress in the last reapportionment. And the way the Republican mapmakers solved this was having Mark Kritz and Jason Altmaier, two Democratic incumbents, run against one another in the new 12th district. It's an interesting race in that, although they have very similar ideological positions, both very conservative Democrats on social issues, on guns, so on and so forth, Labor has really migrated to the Kritz camp. Labor is very hostile to Jason Altmaier. So that will be a race that tests their clout a little bit.
You mentioned Patrick Murphy, former U.S. Representative Patrick Murphy. He is in a contest with Kathleen Kane to be the Democratic nominee for Attorney General. An interesting race. Has it sort of migrated over to your part of the state yet?
Well, it's migrated to the airwaves. You see a lot about it on television. I can't say that it's a race that the man or woman in the street is talking much about. It's kind of interesting, as you and Boris discussed, that it's a proxy war refighting the 2008 primary, with Murphy having been one of Obama's only two congressional supporters in the state, and Kane coming from a family that worked hard for Hillary Clinton and contributed a lot of money to her campaign.
Some people say that all, you know, the politics, yes, they are local, but they can be personal as well. Do you think this is an example of that?
Oh, yeah, I think it is for the very narrow circle of people who were involved. But again, I don't think it's a race that has really engaged the public much.
And what do you anticipate as we get through the primary season and then things gear up for the fall? People begin to pay attention after, generally speaking, even though you and I talk about it, but generally speaking, after Labor Day, what do you anticipate in Pennsylvania?
Well, if you told me what the economy was going to be like in September, I could give you a much better answer to that. But I think that one thing you've already seen is the Obama forces are much better organized, at least at this early point, whether Romney can catch up or not once he gets a nomination and consolidates Republican support, we'll see. I think that the president is still pretty popular in your corner of the state, in the Philadelphia suburbs, in the Lehigh Valley. It's more of a problem as you get farther west, certainly as you get west of the Susquehanna River. In this part of the state, he will win the 14th Congressional District, which covers Pittsburgh and the Mon Valley, the old steelmaking communities. But it's probably a safe bet that Romney will carry most or all of the other congressional districts west of the Susquehanna.
I guess that tells us that times are tough still out there in the Pittsburgh area.
Well, it depends on where you are. In western Pennsylvania, in general, their pockets of high unemployment. Allegheny County has had lower unemployment than the state or the nation for several years now. It's kind of heads and meds community. Its finance community has been a boon to employment here, and there are pockets. The kind of promise of renewed employment from the fracking from natural gas development is maybe just beginning. I don't think we've seen big numbers yet, but there is a lot of natural gas drilling activity in Washington County, which is southwest of here, going toward the Ohio and West Virginia borders.
And Jim, we have to end on that note. Thanks for joining us today in Radio Times.
It's a pleasure, Marty.
Thanks for having you come back to join us, politics editor for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Jim O'Toole, as we conclude the first hour of Radio Times, taking a look across the state of Pennsylvania and talking about politics. I'm Marty Moscoane. Stay with us. We'll be right back.